This 14th chapter of the Gospel of John finds us in the midst of our Lord's last week before his crucifixion. He has many things to say, and beginning with the 13th chapter and continuing on through to the 17th chapter, which includes or has the real Lord's Prayer. I cannot get away from, and I care not to, the beautiful expression of the first few verses of this 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's all I'm going to read just now. Now, on last Wednesday night, we went on through with this passage, and we were down to the 12th verse. And I want us this evening to devote our meditation and study to this 12th verse. This verse figures much in talks, propaganda, emanating from the radio and television going all over the country today. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So many of these miracle workers appearing on television and on the radio quote that verse of Scripture. There's something there that very few people have ever noticed or to which have ever paid any attention. Greater works than these shall he do. The word works is in italics, which means it's not in the original text. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Much misunderstanding occurs in the Word of God, or the study of the Word of God today, because people don't read and examine what it says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. He that believeth on me. Everyone that believeth on me. Without exception. He that believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do. That's everyone that believeth on the Lord. That takes us back to Mark 16. Now let's go back there. The Bible means exactly what it says. It's up to us to see what it says. Now here, in the 16th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 15th verse, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now let's read that again. These signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow all that believe. These signs shall follow everyone that believes. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new languages. The literal translation of the word there, translated tongues. They shall take up serpents. Some of the old manuscripts say they shall take up serpents in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I was startled one day as I was studying that passage when two things dawned on my consciousness. Number one, I believed. Number two, none of those signs followed me. Now, I don't know whether you believe or not. And if you do believe, I don't know whether or not these signs follow you. But the Word says, these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say those that believe and are sanctified. It doesn't say those that believe and are filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say those that believe and have been baptized, so-called, by the Holy Spirit. It just says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, you remember what I said, the two thoughts that were uppermost in my mind. Number one, I believe. Number two, none of those signs have followed me. So, the first conclusion to which I came was that this was not written to me. I encounter many people who say that this whole thing is written to us. A minister was trying to explain that to me one day, and I asked him how he was coming with his ark. He wanted to know which ark. I said, the one like he told Noah to build. He said, well, that wasn't written to me. I said, you just got through telling me it's all written to us. It says in here that every male who worships the Lord shall go to Jerusalem three times a year. And it goes on and on and on. I said, no. There's such a thing in Paul's epistle to Timothy called rightly dividing the word of truth. Their message is in here to Jews. Their message is in here to Gentiles. There's a message in here to the lost. Their message is in here to the saved. Their message is in here to the faithful Christian. Their message is in here to the unfaithful Christian. There were messages God delivered to Adam and Eve, which prevailed before sin entered. There's another message which prevailed after sin entered. He had a message for them before the flood. He had another message after the flood. He had a message to the children of Israel. He has messages to Christians, and he has messages to the apostles. So I began to study this, and I kept on studying. I went on, I read the rest of that chapter. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, who is the them That took me back to the 14th verse. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. There were certain ones who saw him after his resurrection, and some of these didn't believe even then. So he's talking to the 11. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 10. And as we read here in chapter 10, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so that you won't get all mixed up and confused and think that you're one of the 12, he names them. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and in any city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, the commission to these 12, at this particular instance, was to go not to the Gentiles nor to the Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And without exception, every so-called evangelist, every so-called minister today who claimed these as the traveling orders for the church and the Christian today, don't go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but they go to the Gentiles. And they're not particularly interested in the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, as this 12 goes, he says to them, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. The same passage of Scripture which says heal the sick says raise the dead. I've challenged one or two healers to go with me to the cemetery. I haven't found one yet that would. One told me, said, I don't have quite enough faith to raise the dead. I don't get it. Cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. Some of those programs rate $2 and $3 million a week. This is not their traveling orders, though they claim them for their traveling orders. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, neither scrip for your journey, neither two coats nor shoes. You look at them. They have on a different suit every time they speak. Different shoes. It said don't even provide shoes. Just don't take two coats. Well, I don't think it takes much insight, the Word of God, to know that this command was not delivered to all Christians indiscriminately. Now back to Mark, the 16th chapter, where he says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." In my name they shall cast out devils. There are several instances recorded in the New Testament where the apostles cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new languages. Several instances in the New Testament where the apostles spoke in new languages. On the day of Pentecost, the thing that perplexed the great congregation of people that had gathered round about was that they said, "Every one of us hears the gospel preached in our mother tongue." And it lists some 18 nations from which they'd come, speaking 18 different languages. But every one of them heard the apostles preaching in these different languages by the power of God. They shall take up serpents. We have the account of the Apostle Paul being struck by a serpent and fangs hanging in his arm, but he shook him off with no harm to him at all. It says here, if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. We have no record in the Bible of anybody drinking anything deadly and it not hurting them. But the Word of God says that shall be done, and we doubt not but what it was done. Even our Lord said that if all the things, all the miracles that He'd performed, all the things that He'd done, all the things He'd said were written in books, the whole world couldn't contain them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Many instances where that was done. But this is a message that delivered to the 11. Now, I want to call your attention, first of all, to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. I'm not ready to leave Mark. The missing link came to mind. 19th verse of that 16th chapter. "Then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Now the disciples go preaching everywhere. And the Lord works with them. And the Lord confirms their word with signs that follow. The Bible was not completed. And as they went preaching, these signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit which were theirs, was given to them as credentials of their office. How do we know that from God? They spoke a language foreign to them that never studied by miraculous power of God. I don't find anything in the New Testament at all to confirm an unintelligible jabber or gibberish as being what the Lord speaks of here. The Greek word is glossolalia, from which comes our word glossary. It has to do with words and language. And they spoke new languages. And as the apostles scattered abroad over the face of the earth, they could speak a language without learning it. They could speak with new languages. And that's what they did. Now you remember, as we first began to read from Mark, the Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." In Paul's letter to the church of Colossae, he says that the gospel which he was preaching had been preached prior to his salvation, had been preached to every creature under heaven. Before Paul's conversion, the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. They scattered abroad. And as they went preaching. And they spoke with these new languages. Now, the evidence that they were from God was by that. There were those who were raised from the dead. There were those who were healed. There were those out of whom the apostles cast demons. Those were their credentials, and they belonged to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Throughout the Acts of the Apostles, we have those signs, wonders, and miracles in evidence. But after the close of the events related in the Acts of the Apostles, those signs do not appear anymore. I'll show you when that took place. Look at this word in the 20th verse of that 16th chapter. "They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." The Lord confirmed their preaching with signs following. Now, he doesn't confirm my preaching with these signs. He confirms my preaching with this. If they speak not according to this word, it's because the truth is not in them. The Bereans had that in evidence. They searched the scripture daily to see if what Paul was preaching was the truth. And they learned it from the word of God. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 2. I want you to seize on this word, confirm. The Lord confirmed their preaching with these signs that followed. Hebrews chapter 2. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast," if the words from the angels spoken proved steadfast and true, "and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" All right, the word that they preached was confirmed by those who had heard the Lord. Those were the 12 apostles. They had heard the Lord. And their word or preaching was confirmed to them and by them. The apostles. Now, it's interesting to note, I want to show you a little matter here. Turn with me to Acts 28:28. You think I'm lost. I don't know where I'm going. But we're studying, and greater works than these shall they do. Now that's what we're coming to. Greater works than the apostle did. We're going to do greater works than the apostles. I'm going to show you what those works are not, and then show you what they are. They are not raising the dead. They're not handling snakes. They're not drinking deadly poison. They're not talking in tongues. They're not healing the sick. They're not casting out devils. Those are not the works of which he's speaking. Now here in Acts 28, in verse 28, God's ultimatum concerning the Jews. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, look at the top of the margin in your Bible and see what date that was written. Of course, these dates are approximate, but they're not over a year or two off on any of them. The Bible which I have says it was written in 63 A.D. That's good enough. Now, keep that in mind, 63 A.D., now, what I'm telling you is this. After that date, no more miracles were performed by the apostles. You take the epistles Paul wrote after that, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, 1st and 2nd Timothy, the words, signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit do not occur in any of those epistles. They do not occur in any of those epistles. The apostle Paul never worked a miracle after this time. Now, he left Epaphroditus back home sick, and he said he nearly died. Evidently, Timothy complained to Paul about his stomach, and Paul didn't heal him. Paul said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake, something that's embarrassed many and many a Christian from that day until today about him telling him to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Trophimus, he said, I had to leave because he was ill and couldn't accompany me on my journey. Now, you got that date, 63 A.D.? Well, just for the record of a minute, turn to Ephesians. And look at the top of the margin there on the first page and see when it was written. 64 A.D., written a year after he turned away. Look at Philippians, written 64 A.D., afterward. Look at Colossians, 64, that's written afterward. Turn to Timothy, 65. Titus, 65. All of those written after 63. No miracles of this order in any of those. No signs, no wonders. No pouring out of gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we've got to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, what's the key verse of the verse we're studying? The key word? Greater. And greater works than these shalt thou do. Now, what are the greater works? Here in Corinthians, which was written in 59, which was a few years before 63. But, let me read here and show you some of the things that are mentioned. Look in the 12th chapter there at the 8th verse. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of these languages. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So he goes on. Then he comes to the 31st verse. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shall show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, the church at Corinth is described as having gone to seed on this thing of talking in tongues. And that's where the women figured so prominently in the services, getting up and talking in tongues and carrying on to a great extent. And the Spirit of the Lord has a whole lot to say. Now, he comes here to this 31st verse. Covet earnestly. King James says the best gifts. The Greek says the greater gifts. The greater gifts. And he that believeth shall do not only these works, but shall do greater works. Now, covet the greater gifts, says the Apostle Paul. What are the greater gifts? All right. He goes into these greater gifts as we read here. Though I speak with the language of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm become a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not provoked. Thinketh no evil. You notice I left out the word easily. That's not in the original text. Some scribe put that in there because he thought is not provoked was a little too strong. So he just added the word easily. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, watch this eighth verse. Watch this eighth verse. This is a verse that has all those signs, wonders, and miracles, so called. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues or new languages, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Those things are going. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect is the perfect law of liberty. Some would translate that as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect one, and when he comes back, then all of these things which are now in part shall be done away. But that's in the neuter, gender, and it's not masculine. That, neuter. And it applies only to the Word of God. But when that which is perfect, the perfect law of liberty, when the Bible is complete, when the Word of God is come and it's complete, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, when I was a child, in the kindergarten of Christianity, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I matured and grew up, I put away all these childish things. He calls all these signs, wonders, and miracles as childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I also am known. Now abideth. Now knowledge is going to pass away. Prophecy is going to pass away. These signs, wonders, and miracles are going to pass away. But here are three works. that are not going to pass away. Here are the three greater works that will abide: faith, hope, and love. These three. Now, faith changes to fruition, and hope changes to sight. But love, the greatest work, lives on and on and on. The greatest of these is love. So when he says, the works that I do shall he do, and greater things than these shall he do. The greater things set forth here that abide: faith, hope, and love. And the works that you and I do in faith, hope, and love are the greater works than raising the dead, or healing the sick, or handling snakes, or drinking deadly poison, or talking in so-called tongues, or any of those things. The works of faith, hope, and love. Greater works than these shall he do. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. I hear so much today of the book of James, and the book of James is quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted as the thing which we are to go by today. And if you'll turn and look, see when that book was written, you'll see it was written before 63 A.D. It was written about 60. It's back there in those days. The anointing with oil, healing the sick, and all of those things. How oft am I asked this question? Why don't you believe in all of these people who are healing the sick? And the answer is simple, and the answer is easy. I think there are too many sick people in the world today for there to be somebody running loose that can heal them. I was just thinking. Don't you believe in divine healing? I surely do. Because God and God alone can heal. But I don't believe in divine healers. I've said this again and again. I've never been challenged on it. They put it up to me like this. The one to be healed has to have faith enough to be healed. I said, well, how much faith did Lazarus have to be raised from the dead? How much faith did he have to have? I and you can heal anybody that has faith enough to be healed. It's not our faith that heals us. It's God Almighty. I believe healing and relief came to me through the prayers of all these people. I wasn't anointed by oil. Nobody laid hands on me. I received several cloths and handkerchiefs and napkins in the mail that had been blessed, but I discarded them as quick as I saw what they were because I didn't want those in my possession. I didn't want to handle them. The works he that believeth on me. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater things than this shall he do, because I go to my Father. And your works of faith and hope and love, the greatest thing the world has ever seen. They're the greatest works, and they're the greater works. These signs shall follow them that believe. As I said in the beginning, I believe, and these signs have never followed me. The Lord Jesus Christ says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater things than these shall he do. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And none of these signs have followed me. And I haven't been able to see any of these signs. And I haven't seen anybody else do them. I've heard of people being cured from diseases. It wasn't proven they had them before they were healed. It wasn't proven they were healed after it. Broken limbs, amputated limbs, etc. Things clearly visible, discernible. I've never seen anything done. Back to John chapter 14. Look at this verse, which is our lesson for this evening. And with this we close. The verse we have is the 12th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now let's stop there. Do you believe on the Lord? Can you do all these works that he did? No. But greater things than these shall he do. And Paul said, covet earnestly the greater gifts. And the greater gifts, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of those three is love. And when you read that first part of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you find out that love is the greatest thing in the world. And you find out that it's something that is experienced by very, very few Christians and manifested in even fewer. Now, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater things than these. May the Lord bless you and guide you into this truth and not make you feel like that you've missed something and you're just partially saved because you can't raise the dead and because you can't drink deadly poison and because you can't handle snakes and because you can't talk in foreign languages without studying and because you can't cast out demons or devils. You haven't missed anything there. Get the greater gifts, faith, hope, and love, and minister to them. Father, bless, we pray, this study and this meditation. Give us open hearts, understand, believe, and receive. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, just this one announcement.